welcome back to another timely episode, another hot episode of Hope This Helps. It's been a week, right?
That's it.
A lot of things can happen in a week, and sometimes a week can feel like a year and a half. Isn't that weird? But
that
weirdly,
weird.
It's only been a week.
I think so much has changed, though, in a week.
Yeah, people are talking about, like, AI or something, and I guess Viva Insights became a thing, and Windows 11 is still crap? I don't know. Help me out. What is going on in the world right now?
And Teams is still vulnerable?
Yeah, Teams is vulnerable to outside intruder delivery malware attacks. It's crazy. What is going on? Someone help me.
You mean to tell me that external accounts are still a problem?
Yeah, everything changed, and at the same time, everything stayed the same. That's a week in Hope This Helps time.
Yeah, I guess so. What was I going to say? Oh, I was going to also comment on the fact that Basic Auth is still a problem.
Oh my God, weren't they supposed to deprecate that in 2020, and then they pushed it off and pushed it off and pushed it off, and for some reason we're still dealing with it now, even though it's supposed to be very dead?
We are. So, yeah. So phishing. I feel like that's always the topic of discussion, you know, for at least the past week or so.
Yeah, week, month, year. I gotta say, one phishing email almost got me, and I'm ashamed to say it almost got me, but it didn't.
Oh no, what was it though?
I was going through my junk mail for a legitimate email that got caught in my junk mail, and there was this other email that it said something about Coinbase, and it was like, hey, we need to verify your account because you have these transactions that occurred and blah, blah, blah. And the thing about that is I got some legitimate emails from Coinbase a while back saying, hey, we need to verify your ID because we're doing an ID refresh. And I had that on my mind, and I ignored the email before. And right before I was about to click the link, I was like, hey, wait a second. And I looked at the first sentence, spotted a grammatical error, and then I saw the from email address had nothing to do with Coinbase. And I was like, okay, no.
Ooh. Well, that's a good reminder. Always check the senders.
It came that close to getting me, but it was okay because it was on my Linux machine and I don't think it would have done much damage.
Mm. Well, actually, funny, Red Hat was in the news today as well.
I've heard a lot of not so great things about Red Hat in the news lately.
Yeah, it's not great. Speaking of Linux, they used to be for the consumer, like, which is like what Linux is supposed to be all about, but Red Hat is all about those dollar bills, y'all.
They were really big on enterprise Linux and being the champions of that world. And then they started getting weird. And then, yeah, I guess they started violating some license agreements and some other stuff. So yeah, Red Hat is not being a white hat. I gotta say that.
Hmm. Well, since we're already kind of in the boot up, aka, you know, last week.
We're a little rusty at this. Yeah, so this is the Hope This Helps podcast. The podcast that hope that helps you, and we help this hopes you, and it's been a long, long, long week. My name is Steve.
And I'm Tiffany.
Oh, that feels good to say that again. Holy crap.
It does. Wow. Oh, man, it has been a long week. The longest 7 days.
Yeah, so we have a bunch of stuff all lined up, and by all lined up, I mean it's been cobbling together topics over the duration of this very long week to the point where I can't even speak anymore. So we'll definitely have some stuff to talk about, and maybe we might be a little rusty along the way.
Yeah, so please bear with us as we get back on the bicycle here. The jokes will be as bad as ever.
Of course, we're still the same people. We still tell the same terrible jokes.
Nothing has changed.
We're still riding the bicycle on the treadmill.
Yes.
Which I think will always go very successfully and not end up with you and the bicycle and maybe the treadmill inside a wall. But, you know,
yeah,
details.
Knows? I mean, that's kind of where we're at right now, is holes in a wall, our little closets, our recording closets.
That is true. We are technically in holes and walls right now. Is a closet a hole in a wall? They're very hot holes and walls.
I think it's technically a hole in a wall, but it's like a planned hole in a wall.
It's a planned disaster.
It's a planned disaster. Which, speaking of planned disasters, Loop.
Oh, Loop. Yes. Let's talk about Loop.
Loop a fiasco.
Loop a fiasco. So, Loop. Remember Microsoft Loop?
No, I don't. Where did it go?
A week ago when we recorded our last episode, Loop was just coming out. It was announced at Microsoft Ignite 2021, and they didn't have a lot of details about it. It was apparently supposed to replace OneNote. And as we all know, it totally hasn't replaced OneNote.
What has it done? I see it pop up occasionally, and I'm like, this was not what I was promised. Everyone made a big deal.
You know where I keep hearing it? I keep hearing it in like maybe more corporate, more professional podcasts than us, where Microsoft people will be like, oh yeah, Loop replaces OneNote. It's a clone of Notion. Everyone should be using it. OneNote sucked. OneNote was terrible. And I'm like, is OneNote really bad? I don't think it is. It's got issues for sure, but it's not bad.
OneNote is basically how I use Notepad++ for years.
Same. It's still my scratch pad.
I still, like, Notion, that's great. Loop, it's great. But I collaborate with one person, and I want it to be as ugly as possible. I don't need anything else.
And OneNote brings the ugly, but OneNote is hella functional.
Right. I don't need it to be pretty. It just needs to work.
And OneNote works quite well for what it is, despite Microsoft's yes. best efforts sometimes. I know lately OneNote has been kind of getting a little weird, at least in Windows 11. I feel the UI yes. kind of changes a little more often than it used to.
I have noticed that. On the Loop topic, though, have you used any features of it? Again, like, I saw it pop up, and I see it in Teams, but, like, again, I have no real use for it because... in my professional life, I just don't know how to use it.
Yeah, I've used Loop about as much as I've used Microsoft Whiteboard, which is maybe fewer than 3 times. I haven't used it. Yeah, I haven't needed to use it. Nothing's really coerced me to use it.
Did Whiteboard actually get better, though? Because it was terrible.
Whiteboard was that application that I just opened, drew a scribble on, and then closed. It was like the congratulations, you bought a Surface, you can do this with your Surface, and then you don't actually do anything else with it.
Whiteboard made me realize that I want to go buy markers more frequently for my actual whiteboard. That's how terrible it was. It was just like not good. There were like definitely other better competitors such as Miro and just like that did whiteboarding better, but quite frankly, for a tech podcast, I really hate whiteboarding on a computer, on a digital device. I just, what it is, I don't know. I get like for the cross collaboration and the hybrid aspect, it's supposed to make it better. But like, I feel like you're just not talking to each other. You're just like silently moving around little boxes.
Yeah. And the problem is if there's like latency or if you have the problem where I do, where even if you don't have your webcam on and you're doodling in a whiteboard with either a mouse or a touchscreen, doesn't matter, I will physically point at things. And it is pretty yes. stupid when I'm doing that, yes. you know, in my house alone without the people around yeah. me and they can't see me pointing at things. Even if I had my webcam on, you can't see what I'm pointing at because it's just pointing off camera somewhere. So I think that's kind of the skeuomorphic failings of the whiteboard app in general and drawing and whiteboarding collaboratively in a digital workspace. Agreed. There's got to be a better way, and this ain't it.
So multi-cloud, this was over a week ago at this point. So I'm not sure what we were thinking. I'm sure you have a lot there.
Yeah, so I think in our last episode, we talked about multi-cloud multi-ball, which was my favorite pinball feature in which, hey, say you have Azure, but you don't necessarily think Azure is the greatest and you want to have redundancy or maybe a backup cloud. So what if you federated with AWS or Google Cloud or something? So you have all these like redundant backup providers for your stuff. So that was late 2021, back when cloud was the hotness, before AI kind of took it over as the more favored child. Now we're kind of in a situation where economically, I'm seeing a lot of companies start to kind of pull back from the cloud. I mean, we were already kind of seeing it, especially when Microsoft kind of changed their tune from go full cloud to, hey, hybrid is cool. Hybrid is awesome. You can still do on-prem for some stuff. And now I'm seeing the pendulum kind of start to swing the other direction a little bit, where some people are just saying, let's go back to mostly on-premise with some cloud, like a slanted hybrid. And that kind of comes down to money. You know, it's like CapEx and OpEx. And when you go to the cloud and you don't properly reconfigure all your stuff, if you just lift and shift, it's going to get expensive. And I think we're learning that a lot of companies just couldn't make that adjustment. They just tried to continue on as before, and they started hemorrhaging money.
Well, and a lot of it is the licensing and even the nickel and diming that is happening. We're doing like a whole audit ourselves of like all of our Microsoft, like our costs and stuff like that. And one of the things that we're seeing is like half the time we can't even account for what we're being charged for. And a lot of MSPs and a lot of CSPs, they just like consolidate your bill so you can't actually tell easily. And I get like you have the Microsoft, they try to break it down for you, but there's so many different aspects and components and pieces that go into it. It's so hard, I think, to like actually truly pare down your costs.
Yeah. And I think the important thing there is never underestimate the power of the angry CEO who just got a bill that he wasn't expecting. He or she, I'm sorry. Because you never know when they're just going to turn around, kick down your door, and be like, bring it all back, shut it all down, turn it off. This was a mistake. We just lost $3 billion because we went to the cloud and Microsoft can't elaborate on why they're charging us. And it's time to pack it up. And that's the problem.
It's really funny to me, how some companies, like, that's a hill they want to die on. Twitter is like moving stuff to the cloud and then realizing how expensive it is to move. Although why like there's so much physical infrastructure is because the cloud, that ingress and egress cost is going to like totally put you out of business. And one of the things that I see is that companies like don't want to put anything on premise because it's too expensive and blah, 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 overhead this, overhead that. But it's like, is that the hill you really want to die on?
Yeah. And did you properly make the plans to make the adjustments in the cloud once you got up there? Like, did you just migrate a bunch of VMs up there that are running 24/7 and are running SQL Server? Or did you break out the SQL Server into like Azure database instances that were optimized? But most companies probably didn't do that. And I think that's the issue.
Well, then you have that. But now you need the skills to be able to manage the Azure database instances along with the SQL, because there's a good chance that you weren't able to migrate everything all over. Because if you're dealing with hundreds and hundreds of terabytes of data, like that's a big migration.
It could be a bigger project than folks may have initially imagined.
The capacities,
there's something to be said about when you work in a company and you're like, you maybe propose a project and you're like, oh yeah, we can get this done. And then if you work at any place long enough, you might find out that it doesn't always go that way. In fact, it frequently doesn't go that way, because you can just get distracted. You could get pulled in every other direction. And suddenly it's like, 4 years have gone by and there's been people have come and gone, and it was like, oh boy, we're still getting whacked by that cloud bill that we never addressed.
Exactly. It's definitely interesting. So multi-cloud is now like also on-premise, and
it turns out the cloud was just the friends we made along the way. Anything can really be a cloud. If I have too many donuts, sometimes I can become a cloud. I told you this was going to be a hot, funny podcast.
Yeah. The jokes are a mess. Annoying thing of Teams thing of the week. Not annoying thing. That could be a lot of things.
Yeah, seriously.
You'll need to shorten your message to send it. I hate that. That is still a problem.
Have you gotten that?
Yes, I have. Especially if I try to copy and paste like a script or something. And it's like, is this a joke? I'm not using Loop.
I distinctly remember when I wrote this, because I was mad. I was going to paste, I think, maybe an excerpt from an Excel table. It was two columns, 53 rows, and I went to paste it, and I get this like warning from Teams saying, yeah, you'll need to shorten your message to send that. And I was like, what? Are you kidding me? You can format it, and it previews just fine. You go to hit enter, and it's like, nope, sorry. And the funny thing is, if you change and kind of reformat this text into the code view using the code snippet, it'll let you send it. So it's like, what is the problem here? Why are you restricting me from being productive?
I feel like as of recently, I have a lot of bones to pick about Teams. I don't know.
I think a lot of people do. There's a new Teams coming out relatively soon, if it isn't out already.
Yeah, I've been using the preview, and my biggest thing is it is hardly baked. Hardly.
That's what I heard. Like, they tried to take a couple of pages out of that, like, not Teams, Microsoft Teams, that was part of Windows 11, and, like, roll that into the enterprise regular Teams. And we kind of have, like, a Skype and Skype for Business kind of situation where it's, like, two different products trying to be one another and neither of them excel at it.
The initial, I've been using it for a couple months now, and the initial release for me was so unusable because it got rid of all the apps, like, all of the integrated apps. So it was literally just chat and calls. And I'm like, well, this is kind of hard because I'm supposed to be doing some integrations on some apps, like for Workday and some other stuff, and for Peacon. And I'm like, well, this isn't useful if I can't access the applications, if they're just not available. And then so they're in there now, but it totally ruins all the admin configurations and it doesn't listen to anything. And it's like, okay, this is great and all, but like, it's not really usable. I have to switch back and forth. And then it's asking me why I want to switch. And it's like, just work. Please just work. Stop asking me questions. And I get it's a preview. So
I hate when something asks, like, almost indignantly. It's like, hey, why are you doing that? Why did you turn this off?
I'm turning it off because it sucks. I'm switching back because of a reason. And I know they're asking what the reason is, but I still feel like very like fish shaky at it. Like, come on.
Yeah, like Microsoft, don't you have that telemetry stuff that you have all over the place? Don't you have Viva Insights, that not spyware, spyware, that's Viva Insights?
And you mean Yammer now, whatever it is?
Well, Yammer got renamed to something else, didn't it?
Viva something or another, Viva Las Vegas or something.
Yeah, Microsoft Viva Las Vegas. Yeah, I know.
Microsoft Viva Las Vegas.
It feels like that some days. It really does.
Well, because, oh yeah, what do we have, like, Entra permissions now?
That's what it was. It's Microsoft Entra.
One. Yeah, so let's save Entra for the next one, because I feel like we got quite a show here. And I have my commentary on Entra that's coming. So next time we'll do like an Entra Terry.
We'll put a pin in that. We'll have our Contra Terry, our Entra Terry.
An Entra Terry and an introspection.
We'll be Entrarians.
Yes, we'll have some deep introspection.
Okay, so tune in next week for some spicy Entra talk.
Why am I participating in this? I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm going to skip this part because I don't know what I was trying to post or what I was thinking.
And that's okay. I carried this over from the last episode from last week where you posted some links and I didn't want to just, you know, delete them because I thought you might have had something that maybe we forgot.
I probably was going somewhere with it. But last week it was, you know, it's like, what did you have for dinner? I don't know.
Yeah. For those who are not looking at OneNote with us, Zelda.
Link.
Tiff posted two links to, one was a Microsoft Docs URL to a create and profile container with Azure files and Azure Active Directory, and
then a
GitHub page called Samples by Framework, SharePoint Framework, Client-Side Web Part Sample.
Yeah, what was it? Like, what was I working on that time?
Whatever you were working on, it was, I don't want any part of this, because this just sounds miserable.
Spicy. Yeah.
Jeez, yeah.
Good
so,
times. I'm glad I don't remember.
Whatever it was, I hope you got it done, or I hope it fizzled out, because, man.
I don't remember, but I'm kind of glad. Anyway.
Great.
Moving on. Let's move on to Windows 11.
Windows 11. The end of Windows.
Windows 11. That's really about all I gotta say about it.
Yeah, it's a Windows I really haven't used much of yet, even though it's been out for like a year and a half. I took the controversial decision of, at least for my home computers, I said, no thank you. And
No, thank you.
In the start of 2022, I actually reformatted my desktop and put Linux Mint on it because I was that like against going to Windows 11. And to this day, I'm still on Linux Mint. And I think it's a better Windows 11 than actual Windows 11. So there's that. There's my glowing endorsement of Windows 11.
I do use Windows 11. I don't hate it. I don't love it. It's just very, it's just there.
Yeah, I am being slightly facetious. I do have Windows 11 running in a VM on my Linux machine.
Okay.
And it's one of those in case I need it kind of things, because there are things here and there that don't work in Linux still, or they don't work as well. And I just need like a throwaway junky Windows box to use it for. One of those things is the Zune software. So I can confirm Zune still works in Windows 11, and it works in Windows 11 in a VM. And
killing me.
One thing I did learn, though, Windows 11's system requirements can really just eat me, because the whole TPM thing, if you don't have a TPM, God help you when it comes to installing this piece of junk, because my desktop doesn't have a TPM. I have a custom-built desktop, and that was when I learned from this whole experience that I don't have a TPM, so I probably couldn't have gone to Windows 11 even if I wanted to, unless you do these crazy registry hacks and bypasses that you have to repeat every time there's like a major update. And even in the VM, it's annoying. I spent at least a month just trying to jump to the latest Windows 11 feature update because it just kept randomly failing updates. And then I learned that, oh, you need to actually set a bunch of registry keys and you have to go to this GitHub page. And oh, you know what? Maybe I'll link that in the show notes once I go find it after the show here.
Yeah, no, you should do that. Definitely.
There's someone who made this like Windows toolkit, a deployment toolkit, and one of their scripts actually disables all the TPM checks before you install a feature update for Windows 11. And that was the only way I was able to get my dang VM to update to the latest Windows 11 update, which they are calling Moments. And man, that was a moment, all right.
Moments. That's another one of those names. Viva Las.
Viva Las Moments.
Viva Las Moments.
There's a lot of lost moments in Viva Las Vegas.
Well, speaking of Windows 11, Windows Copilot.
Oh yeah, Copilot everything.
Beginning to ship testers. Yeah, I mean, what do you need Copilot for on Windows?
Yeah, that's so. It started with GitHub Copilot. That was the one. That's the one that steals everybody's code and then suggests it to you very anonymously and cryptically. So that's GitHub Copilot. So do you want that in Windows? Because it's coming to Windows. Welcome to the chaos that is Microsoft AI deployment. And I don't know, what would you want? Like, remember Cortana? How much did you use Cortana? How much do you use Siri? Like, it's kind of the same thing.
I just tell Siri to set reminders and alarms for me. That's really all I use her for. So
that's all I can use Siri for, because Siri doesn't really work for me half the time, and apparently half the internet if you ever just search Siri quality.
Yeah, she has some serious listening problems, for sure. Comprehension skills that are missing.
On the other side of the street, I think I used Cortana maybe like twice. That was when Windows 10 first launched. And I remember I wasn't very impressed by Cortana either, because I wanted to tell Cortana open control panel to the sound control panel. And then Cortana gave me web results for control panel instead. So that was not a good start. And then Cortana kind of died. So that was the end of Cortana.
Wait, so Microsoft Moment 3. Is that's really what they're calling?
I think that's the latest. FA. Yeah, is that the newest? Moment, because I have no idea.
Yeah, Moment 3.
Hard to believe there's been 3 moments.
There's been 3 whole moments.
Three
I'm having
whole,
several
painful,
right now.
Agonizing, terrible moments. Yeah,
several moments right now.
I'm having a brain moment right now.
Oh. Right, I'm like, oh. Oh, so this is what the internet was talking about, because they were all like caught up in it and were like, Microsoft is trying to cloudify Windows. But that makes sense, because you can directly boot into Windows 365 Cloud Desktop to make it the default on your device. So that's why everyone was all like, oh no, Microsoft. It's like, but that they said that was their plan when they released, or like when Windows 11 was announced.
Yeah, I was going to say, this kind of like is and isn't a new story, because we had been hearing about this, I think even as far back as like mid-Windows 10 days, because they always wanted to do that quote-unquote Windows 365, where it's like, Imagine if your desktop was just a VDI in the cloud. That's basically all it is. It's just, you know, somebody else's desktop somewhere else that you're RDPing into. But imagine if you could have a computer that was that. Is that exciting to you? Does that just make you just absolutely want to go out and just buy a PC and build an altar to pay tribute to Steve Ballmer and Bill Gates? I don't think so.
No.
But apparently Microsoft still hasn't given up on that dream, and with their cloud and AI junk and desire to push updates that nobody wants that aren't tested, this is a thing that they're still trying to, it's a goal they want to still attain. And there was I'm literally just reading off a Verge article now, but there was a new Microsoft internal presentation that reveals the company's long-term goals for Windows, and surprise, surprise, they want to slowly make it less traditional, like on-premise, well, quote-unquote on-premise on your device Windows install, and make it just a VDI instead.
Yeah, this is insane. I don't want any of it.
I don't either. I actively declined that offer because, yeah, like I said, I moved to Linux, and I actually really like Linux now. So congrats, Microsoft.
Thanks, Microsoft. You won. You won.
You totally won, if winning was losing.
So yeah, that's our Windows 11. I don't have anything like really exciting about Windows 11 other than I use it. I don't really pay attention to it. It works. I kind of wish that I didn't need to use it, but gaming and stuff.
Yeah, same. It's kind of something, it's a necessary evil. I have been able to kind of wean myself off of it, and I only use it for a couple of things now. Mm. And I'm willing to accept that reality. It is nice that I can just put Windows 11 in a little box, and if I don't need Windows 11, I can just turn it off and continue on with a operating system that isn't kind of bipolar and changing by the hour and by the day with moments, and having all these bipolar moments that is Windows 11. So yeah. I don't know where I was going with that. I'm really sorry if that went to strange, bizarre, dark places. I don't know.
It did. It became, you know, kind of like our therapy session.
Therapy was spilling into the podcast again. I gotta stop doing that. I'm gonna just knock it out of me. Oh yeah.
Let's knock it out of you right
now.
Knock
it out of us.
Knock it off.
So Windows, the cloud, Linux, all this stuff kind of intertwines.
It is. So speaking of Linux, do you want to talk about your Linux journey?
Sure, yeah. So, like I hinted, in January 2022, I had it. I moved to Linux on my main desktop, and the distribution I chose was Linux Mint, the regular one, the Ubuntu-based edition. And the funny thing about that is, so Linux Mint is kind of like Ubuntu without the junk. Ubuntu is run by Canonical, and Canonical is a little like Red Hat in the sense that they sort of kind of eventually want to maybe serve you ads or get you to buy a subscription or make bizarre design choices in the interface and do a bunch of weird stuff with the way apps are packaged with this thing called Snap, which is kind of slower and less performative than any other way of getting an app on Linux. So what Linux Mint does is it kind of strips out 99% of that, and it just gives you a very specific desktop that is very simple, straightforward, easy to use, very Windows-like. That was something I really appreciated. It's if you used Windows 7 through 11, you're going to be pretty much at home with Linux Mint, which is great, except it's going to run a lot faster, be a lot simpler, be a lot quieter on the network, not really nag you for stuff, not change by the day. You can control all the updates. You can install individual updates. The updates won't auto-install unless you tell it to, and it's really just fantastic. The core experience is there. I made the jump without much fuss, way less fuss than I thought I was ever going to have. And yeah, every app feature and basic function worked. It was really cool. There were a couple things like OneNote. There is no OneNote app for Linux, which kind of made me sort of reevaluate where I wanted to store my personal notes that weren't work-related. So I kind of started self-hosting a Trillium instance, and I've been kind of migrating stuff into there ever since. I'm not fully there, even like about a couple years in, but I still use it now as my primary, and it works cross-platform Windows, Mac, and Linux, so that's great. And if I really do need OneNote or Zune or whatever, I can just use a little Windows 11 VM in VirtualBox to scratch that itch, per se. So, you know what? I can kind of make stuff work. I tried to install the Zune software. So this is a mini state of the Zunion. Zune doesn't really work in Wine. I think I might have even talked about it in past episodes, but yeah, it doesn't work in one on Linux. It just kind of crashes out because it needs a bunch of dependencies that are kind of .NET, like legacy .NET related, and that doesn't always work in Wine. So, hey, viva la vida, viva la viva, Microsoft.
Viva la las Microsoft.
Microsoft, viva la vida. Yeah, viva so a little Coldplay there. So yeah, you know, your mileage may vary, but you can always just run a VM. You know, most machines are powerful enough to run a crappy little VM. You don't have to provision it with much storage or resources, and that will kind of get you through. USB pass through to VirtualBox does work from Linux to a Windows VM, so you can run your Zune software as if it was native to your Linux machine. And yeah, it basically, I guess, where am I going with all this? It's a very usable experience. It's not like 15 years ago where you had to be this guy who knew how to compile your freaking kernel and do all this stuff from scratch. You don't have to do that with a lot of the main distros now. You can just run it and it will work. And the whole it just works mentality is alive and well with Linux. That being said, Microsoft could maybe do a better job on it. Teams on Linux kind of sucks. It needs some work. I know in my experience, I've downloaded the Teams native app or the Flatpak version. Doesn't matter. It's an Electron app still until Microsoft maybe rewrites it as native. And I don't know if they're going to make a Linux version of the new Teams, but I know it doesn't remember my login ever. It asks for a login every time. Audio devices get really screwed up. Like input and output sound devices get confused during calls, making it almost unusable. But sometimes it's also okay. But the problem is it's inconsistent and you can't have inconsistency in, you know, an enterprise environment. The thing I did come across that kind of alleviates it a little bit is you can use teams.microsoft.com in a browser, and that actually is a much smoother experience. Like you can do basic calls and all the most of the regular amenities in like Firefox or Chromium or whatever, and that will work just fine. But yeah, that's the state of Teams. And then gaming wise, Steam and Proton is it's like unreal how good it is on Linux. I mean, when I wrote this at the time, I don't think the Steam Deck was even out yet, but obviously it's, you know how the Steam Deck works with Steam and gaming, and that's all Linux. So obviously any other version of Linux is going to work great with Steam and their Proton compatibility layer. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. So should you do it? If you're willing to put up with learning fast and researching community fixes and occasionally being okay with some stuff either not working or having to kind of come up with some workarounds, I would absolutely recommend switching to Linux, especially, you know, think of the opposite. Are you going to deal with Windows 11 and all these moments and Windows Cloud, Windows 365 that Microsoft is apparently threatening?
Mm-hmm.
It kind of makes you think. Or you can get a Mac, one of the two. I also have a Mac, so I'm all over the map, really.
Nice. Well, thanks, Steve.
Anytime.
Yeah, so I'm not sure how much else we have here. This is definitely on the shorter side this week, but that's okay.
Yeah, you know, it happens. Sometimes some weeks are short, sometimes some weeks are long, and sometimes they're so long that you just can't even think of stuff to come up with.
This is us getting back into it, so this is excellent. We'll be back to our regular scheduled nonsense soon enough.
I'm sure we will be right back, same time, same place, next week.
Hopefully not, like, actually, like, a year and a half of a week, but, you know.
Maybe, like, you know, an American week, maybe not, like,
an actual
Canadian week or some other exchange rate, who knows.
Awesome. No, so I'm good here because I don't have anything else, so that was not bad.
Awesome. So thank you for listening to the revival comeback episode of Hope This Helps. We still have a website. It still exists. You know, despite it being a long week, we actually never, you know, nothing ever went anywhere. We're on, going to the website's probably the best place to find all of our medias. In the time that we've recorded this, Twitter kind of did some interesting things. Reddit has done some interesting things. We have a Mastodon. Mastodon's fun, especially infosec.exchange. Infosec.exchange is a fantastic Mastodon instance. And yeah, we're on there.
Yes. I'll have to get on there more, for sure.
It's a real fun time. It kind of reminds me of, like, the earlier days of the internet in like the 2000s or so, where it was kind of more organic and a smaller pool of people. And it was just like really focused discussion. InfoSec.exchange is about security and IT. And it also will occasionally drift off into some loosely related stuff, but it's a really fantastic community overall.
That's awesome. I'll definitely need to get on there more.
HTHPC.com is the place to check out all the other episodes, and hopefully they're entertaining as much vary as this one, with better grammar than my grammar is right now.
Grammar. And we're going to get out of these really warm holes in the wall.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. It's also summertime, and June came in December because it's a week past our last episode, which was December. Yeah. So thank you very much for listening to this hot and confusing and sputtery episode of Hope This Helps.
Thanks.
We'll talk to you next time. Hope this helps.